We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, this is Travis Diener, and you're listening to Setting the Pace on PacersTalk.net.
Pacer fans, welcome back to another episode of Setting the Pace, episode number 31. I am your host, Alex Golden, and joining me, as always, my co-host, Mike Focci. Focci, what's going on, man?
I'm doing great, and the fact that it is episode 31 makes me feel that much better, because it's a special one, the Reggie Miller episode.
We cannot overlook what just happened yesterday, 24 years ago. Reggie Miller, 8 points, 9 seconds in the Garden, one of the most iconic moments in NBA and Pacers history.
Talk about a comeback. Never rule anything out if Reggie Miller's on the court. And guys, you're going to enjoy this episode because it was a fun one. We were joined by Travis Diener, and the man took some time during the midst of a championship run in Italy.
Yeah, he really was fun. Talked to us about playing with Dwayne Wade. He gave us a really funny Dwayne Wade story. Talked about Coach Crean, what kind of coach he was like to play for, and just his time as a Pacer. It was a really, really fun conversation with Travis Diener. A lot of you younger Pacer fans might not remember him, but he played from 2007, Focci?
Yep, 2007 to about 2009, and you know I squeezed a Jermaine O'Neal story out of him. I had to.
Yep, you can't let a Jermaine O'Neal story go without the president of the Jermaine O'Neal fan club being on the podcast. So always going to be a Jermaine O'Neal story. But anyway, we're going to get out of the way here. Hope you guys sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode here with Travis Diener. Pacer fans, we are joined today on the Agape Pizza phone line by the one and only Travis Diener. Travis, welcome to the show, man.
Happy to be on. Happy to be on with you guys.
Hey, Travis, my man, honored to have you on the show. Fresh off wrapping up a championship run in Italy. Do I have that right?
You have that right. Yeah, we're still over here, still playing. We start the playoffs here next weekend. We are the two seed right now, so we'll see what happens.
Best of luck to you on that. I definitely appreciate with that going on. You know, you taking the time today. Which title was it that you guys captured recently?
We won the Italian Cup championship, which is kind of a mid-season championship where the top eight teams the first half of the season compete for this championship, and we ended up winning that. So it's a big deal over here. It's kind of hard to understand for people in America because there's nothing like it that happens. It'd be like eliminating the All-Star game and having a championship in the middle of the season, so to speak.
That's real cool. So from my research, you know, I read that you actually had retired from basketball. We're working at your alma mater, Marquette, and then got the itch to play ball again. Can you describe what that feeling was like, knowing you just weren't done yet?
Yeah, you know, when I first retired, I was 32, and it had been a long road for me. And, you know, I just thought I was just really, to be honest with you, I was just tired physically and mentally. And initially, I just wanted to take a break for, you know, 5-6 months and then come back to Italy and play. And, you know, I got this offer from Marquette and joined Wojo on his staff from day one. And, you know, 3 years went by and I had a great experience there. But, you know, there's just something that was still missing. And, you know, decided to come back and play at 35 and been 2 years here playing now in Italy and having a great time. I think I appreciate the game more now that, you know, from coming back.
Well, hey, we saw a veteran point guard of Pablo Prigioni come over to the NBA later in his career. Do you think there's any chance that you might want to come back to the NBA even though you're a little bit older?
Would I want to? Yeah, of course. I don't know if the talent is there at this point to play in that league right now.
We know you still got game.
No, I mean the game nowadays, even in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, has changed so much. To you know, I think Steph Curry's done he's changed the way the game is played with the 3-point shooting. You know, a lot of guys are graded on their skill level. So I think today's game fits me well. It's just I'm just getting a little too old.
Yeah, so that's what we were going to ask you too, because we know you played in a little bit more of a slower pace back when, you know, there was actually post up and big man couldn't shoot threes. But now today, I mean, if you're a big that can post up, it's like you're an odd player in the NBA. So do you feel like your game today would have been, you know, or the way the NBA has played today, do you think your game would have been better for that or better suited for that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not as physical nowadays. Obviously, I wasn't a very physical player, and the game is faster. There's obviously more 3-point shooting. It's a lot of freedom of movement, a lot of 3-point shooting, and the pace is up-tempo for the most part. So, yeah, that's exactly how I love to play, and I think that's how a lot of players really love to play, is fast-paced and shooting a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm. Something that I thought about, you know, I always remember during your time, you know, in the NBA, and most specifically with the Pacers, a part of your game that I love was the lack of turnovers. You had great ball control. I think you were averaging basically 4 assists per turnover in your best year with the Pacers. And on a per 36 basis, that was about 6 assists per turnover, which is absurd. Would you say protecting the ball has always been your strongest suit? Or was it your 3-point shooting, which you were lights out with at Marquette?
No, I think, you know, at a very young age, I played for my uncle in high school, and it was a priority not to turn the ball over. So that's always been ingrained in my head that, you know, just get a shot at the rim and you know, take care of the basketball. So, you know, I was, you know, it's always been I've taken a lot of pride in not turning the ball over, and I continue that to this day. And I think, you know, it's probably, like you said, maybe one of my strongest attributes.
I think so.
Yeah, I want to backtrack a little bit to your days at Marquette. Made it to the Final Four with Steve Novak and the now, I guess he's not officially retired, but he's going to be, Dwayne Wade. What kind of experience was that like, playing with a guy like Dwayne Wade? And just give us your best Dwayne Wade story, because obviously he has had such a great career in the NBA, and playing with him in college, you know, quite a different player.
Yeah, you know, he was real quiet, had incredible work ethic in college, and, you know, a guy that obviously dominated at the college level as well. But, you know, a funny story about Dwayne is we were roommates on the road, and he was a horrific sleeper, you know, would just constantly snore and it'd be so loud. And I'm a really light sleeper. So any sort of noise, you know, most nights I would end up throwing pillows at him, jumping on his bed, trying to get him to stop snoring.
That's awesome.
But nothing would ever work. And there were times I'd actually go in the bathroom and sleep in the bathtub on the road. And,
oh, my God.
So I go back to the games I played bad on the road, and I just blame Dwayne for not getting a good night of sleep.
That is awesome.
It sounds fair. So, Travis, when you joined the Pacers in 2007, you know, it really wasn't the best stretch of years for the team under Coach Jim O'Brien. Can you tell us a bit about what his coaching style was like and maybe why he came off as not so much of a fan or player favorite?
Yeah, I mean, I think at that time, you know, for the Pacers organization, it was difficult because, you know, that was, you know, right after the brawl, and you know, I was trying to, you know, get people in the stands and try to, you know, have a good reputation around the city. And you know, with Coach O'Brien, you know, he wanted to play a brand of basketball that, you know, is kind of ingrained in today's game. Is he wanted to play fast? He wanted a lot of spacing, a lot of movement, quick shots. You know, so it just didn't. You know, we just, you know, a rash of a lot of things that just didn't lead to ultimate success for us. You know, not reaching the playoffs in those 3 years. But you know, the future was started at that point. And then, you know, after I left, you know, Indiana had, you know, some really good seasons, and that's actually continued, you know, to right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I want to bring up O'Brien too, because we've had David Harrison on our podcast, and he is actively tweeting about he's not a big Jim O'Brien fan. So, was there any stories there between David Harrison and Jim O'Brien you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, when you said David Harrison, I could have guessed that he was not a fan of Coach O'Brien. You know, it's just, I think, you know, the main job of a coach, and I think even today in the NBA now more so than ever, is, you know, you have to have good communication with your players, and players want to know where they stand at all times. They want communication. They want a relationship. And I don't know, maybe at times, you know, David didn't feel like he knew where he stood, and but it goes both ways. You know, it's on everybody to have good communication and you know, be respectful of the head coach, and obviously the head coach be respectful of the players as well.
Mm-hmm. That makes complete sense. It definitely does go both ways. And one of those teammates that you had that really stepped into his own and became an all-star during that time was Danny Granger. I love Danny Granger, but can you tell us what Danny was like around the team and how he was leadership-wise?
Well, he was more of a, you know, more of, you know, not a vocal leader, more of a, you know, I'm gonna work hard, I'm gonna do what's necessary on the court, and you know, follow my action sort of guy. And I think as he got older, you know, because he was still relatively young at that point when I played with him, I think as he got older, I'm sure he became more vocal. But you know, he had some outstanding years when I was there, you know, over 20 points a game. And you know, I think, you know, what hurt his career obviously were his knees, and he just couldn't stay healthy, and that's unfortunate. But you know, Danny was great when I played with him. It just, at that point, he wasn't really much of a leader yet because he still was young.
Mm-hmm. So I don't want to keep jumping back, but I do need to ask you another question about Marquette and your former coach, Tom Crean. A lot of our Pacer fans here, well, not a lot of them, but there's a good majority of them that are Indiana Hoosier fans as well. And Tom Crean was coach here for a while, and it was, you know, mediocre how fans felt about him. But with his time in Marquette, what kind of coach was Tom Crean like, and what would you say positive about Coach Crean?
You know, he gives you a belief that you can really accomplish things that maybe you don't think you can accomplish. And for me, that was huge because, you know, I'm a, you know, 6 foot white kid from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, who never, you know, dreamt of playing in the NBA, and really didn't dream about playing in the NBA when I was in college either. I didn't think it was, I didn't know how good I was, and he had a belief in me and instilled I thought I had a really good work ethic to get there, when I went to Marquette. And then, you know, when I got there, he instilled a work ethic that, you know, still, is in me today. And, you know, I can't thank him enough. I have nothing but, you know, great things to say about him. You know, I know he's, you know, in Indiana, you know, it's kind of hit or miss on what people think of him, but you know, I thought he did a great job at Marquette. You know, helped us, you know, take us to the Final Four, and then, you know, obviously with Indiana, when he took over that program was in a lot of trouble. And I know they didn't win as much as, you know, the expectations are for Hoosier fans, but I thought he did a great job of turning that program around and getting them back on its feet.
Yeah, and I think one more thing, too, like that a lot of Pacer fans don't like about Coach Crean is just his relationship with Dwayne Wade. And during that Eastern Conference Finals run, it might have even been 2012 or 13, I can't remember, 2012, I think, when the Pacers went to round two against the Heat. Dwayne Wade played terrible in game three, and he went and talked with Coach Crean, and then it seemed like Dwayne kind of got his mind cleared and was feeling a little bit better since he had that nice relationship with Coach Crean. So what kind of relationship did those two guys have? Was it any different than what you guys had?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously Dwayne and Coach Crean have a tremendous relationship, and I think the guys that and I do as well. I think the guys that, you know, Coach was really hard to play for. You know, it wasn't always it was hard, and a lot of guys transferred, a lot of guys couldn't handle it. But if you stayed for 4 years, in Dwayne's case, he was there for 3 years. You develop this relationship where at the time you might not like him, but you know, when you're done, you have a tremendous amount of respect for him. And you know, he's a guy that, you know, throughout the course of, you know, weeks go by or months go by, if I have a problem or I need some advice, you know, he's the first, one of the first people I call. And I think that's the same way with Dwayne. And you know, Dwayne, you know, when he was younger, you know, kind of grew up without a father figure, and I think, you know, Coach Crean kind of filled that role for the time he was in school. And, you know, I know Dwayne's father's back in his life now, but for a while there, Coach was not only a head coach for Dwayne, but, you know, a father figure as well.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is really cool to hear. You know, while you mentioned that Danny Granger was a younger player at that time, one guy that you did get to play with in his final year with the Pacers was Jermaine O'Neal. That happens to be personally my favorite player. Is there any stories you have playing with Jermaine in his final year with the Pacers?
You know, he was very, you know, as a young player, you come to certain teams and you're in awe of certain players, or you hear about, you know how great certain players are. And Jermaine was one of those guys. So when I got there, you know, I was like, well, how's he going to, you know, interact with me? How's he going to welcome me to the, you know, organization? He was nothing but class and very welcoming, and you know, made my transition from Orlando to Indiana very easy, you know, because Jermaine was our best player. Obviously injuries struck him too as well, but you know, he was wonderful, and I think he represented the Pacer organization the right way. And you know, obviously you know, I'm sure he wishes that, you know, his time in Indiana, they could have you know, won a little more, but, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
It's true.
Yeah, and if you haven't listened to our podcast yet, my man Focci here is the president of the Jermaine O'Neal Fan Club. He got to meet him at one of the Big Three tournaments, was absolutely going crazy, and Jermaine actually came over and took a picture with him, so that was pretty awesome for Focci. I like to share that story because Focci, go ahead and just tell Travis that story, because I think our fans want to hear this. One more time.
Sure. Well, well, Travis, I saw him at the Big Three game. Told myself if he was ever going to be playing again live, I was going to be there. So, you know, I'm decked out. I got my Jermaine O'Neal jersey on. I got my sign. They even tried to confiscate the sign because it wasn't allowed. Still got through with it. Anyway, I'm going so wild while he's shooting free throws that he actually bricks all three free throws. But everyone else appreciated it. And, you know, all my friends helped me out. Everyone was tweeting at the Big Three, making a lot of noise, you know, for me to get his attention. And at the end of the game, you know, he brought me down to the court. I got to meet him, just a stand-up guy that matches the story that you were telling with him. So I got nothing but love for Jermaine.
Well, that's great that that your favorite player treated you that way, because, you know, it can go the other way as well.
And that would have been heartbreaking.
Exactly.
Yeah, you wouldn't be the president of that fan club anymore. But anyway, Travis, the Big Three, is that something you'd be interested in? I know that's a little bit different than what you're doing now with Italy and what, you know, an NBA return might be like. But the Big Three is still kind of something that's evolving, and it's kind of a cool little thing that goes on during the summer. Would you ever be interested in joining the Big Three?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how much that's growing, and the teams are getting – there's more teams now. There's more players in each team. I see some of the rosters and some guys I've played with overseas, some guys I've played with in the NBA. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's something that's fun. I don't know how well my my game translates to 3-on-3, I think that's a lot of, you know, a lot of bully ball and stuff like that. But, you know, I think I would definitely be interested. But, you know, it's kind of amazing and how well that keeps on growing. And seems like it's doing really well. And it's something that, you know, I've paid attention to a little bit here and there. And I think I will continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it would be awesome to see you in the States again playing some ball. You did play in the basketball tournament last year. Do I have that correct?
Yep, I did.
Any plans to see you potentially again in the U.S. playing ball?
Yeah, I mean, I'm planning on right now and playing in that tournament again this summer, as long as I'm healthy. And it's always fun to get back to Marquette and lace it up with guys that also went to Marquette. And you know, we went to the Final Four last year, so it was a lot of fun, and it keeps me young. You know, playing basketball, I keep talking about my age, but, you know, I really do feel like I'm still young, you know, by playing with these guys, and basketball can do that to you.
Yeah, that's awesome, man, for sure. And I think that if we had the chance to come see you, we might have to just do that. But I'm sure you're watching the NBA right now. You got James Harden going against Kevin Durant right now, Golden State versus Houston, probably one of the most fun series. What are your thoughts on the playoffs so far, and who do you think the favorite is? Is there any team that can take down the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, I think Houston's definitely good enough. Can they get it done is the question. I would think that's probably the only team I can see that can beat Golden State. I just don't think Portland or Denver can beat them. And then, you know, in the East, it looks like, you know, obviously Milwaukee's playing really well, but I just don't know if they have enough firepower to beat Golden State. In Toronto, I don't know either. I think the finals is kind of Golden State versus Houston, and we'll see what happens. I know it's a huge game tonight. But you know, I guess, you know, anything can happen. Houston had them on the ropes last year, and looks like they have them in that same spot this year again.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty awesome, man. I love watching the playoffs, and I love everything that the NBA is doing right now. I think they're growing, and you know, you're over in Italy. Internationally, how well is the NBA liked?
Yeah, it's like you said, it's growing at a level that's really incredible, and especially with the influx of foreign players. You know, now that you see, you know, what Giannis is doing with the Bucks makes, you know, a lot of Europeans really pay attention to what's going on, because, you know, he's turning into the, you know, one of the faces of the NBA. And so, you know, the game of basketball and the NBA in particular is really, really growing. And it's great to see, you know, it's great to see just how much basketball can mean to people. And, you know, as we're talking, we've spent 20 minutes talking about basketball. So it's great for everybody.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So, Travis, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Can you go ahead and let people know where they can find you at on social media?
Diener Travis on Twitter and on Instagram.
Simple enough. I like it. So thanks again, Travis. We really appreciate it.
Hey, Travis, best of luck in the playoffs.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
All righty, guys. That does it for another episode of Setting the Pace. You can find us on Twitter at SettingThePace3. Make sure you check out our website, PacersTalk.net. And if you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review so we can know what you guys think, and leave a comment as well. All right, everybody, we'll talk to y'all later. Peace out, Pacer Nation.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.